Buy with Rob is your best choice when purchasing your new home in the Puget Sound area. Call 360-710-9425 today and get started on the best home buying experience you will ever have. Go to buywithrob.com today.
Hey, this is YD from the Ale Evangelist Show, and you're listening to the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not.
Dave says he must keep Christmas from coming, but how? Dave, quoting Dr. Seuss as we... Thanks, Dave, you know, we need to mic you up. We probably put you on the phone one day. We'll have to put Dave on the phone one day and have him take part in this podcast. One day next week, Dave, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we need to think about doing that, putting you on the podcast with us, provided you want to be up at 7 in the morning next week.
Yeah, I was just going to have that too.
I don't know when Ben gets out of school for the holidays, but if you can be up at 7 in the morning one day next week, we will bring Dave Bowman into this podcast.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
Always had a lot of fun with Dave, so we'll see if we can make that happen. Funny guy, and thoughtful, intelligent guy, too. Shh, don't tell him I said that.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon. Wherever you are, whatever you do, a lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say, so... Perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity, holiday traditions, politics, and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. Well, it's that time of year again, whether it's old memories, long-held traditions, new ideas, or new people. The holidays are, well, the most wonderful time of the year that doesn't include baseball. Unless, of course, you're the Grinch or Michael Cohen. People are not sure how to react to the Supreme Court decision to not hear a case. Confusion reigns. And California has a brilliant new idea. It almost has to be fake news. There's no way that's real. Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 209-565-3283. The email is dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. And of course, we're on the web. Look for us at thedavebowmanshow.com as well as podcast99.org or on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for The Dave Bowman Show. And, of course, we're on iTunes as well. If you download us, leave us a reading and a review. We'd appreciate that. Ego bierbi capilis ut ale viveri. I drink coffee that others might live. So I'm kind of in a weird situation this morning. I'm waiting for a text, and that text could cause one of a couple of things to happen. It could cause nothing to happen. It could cause me to have to leave right away, or more precisely, right around 10:30. I got if we got to do something, I got to be there at 10 or 11. So I may have to duck out of here a little bit early. And if I do, well, I apologize, but you know, stuff happens, I guess, and that's the way it goes sometimes. So if you hear the buzzing of my phone, you'll understand that I'll have to look at it. I know, see, that's part of the problem in our world today. I was reading an article this morning about five things that will destroy your marriage, and one of them is cell phones. And I don't know, you know, it's kind of become the thing now. You can go to a restaurant and sit there and watch people who are supposedly going to eat because they want to spend time together. And what do? They sit there like this the whole time. And I know that restaurants hate them because they cause people to be slow in their ordering. The funny part of that is that this happens to my wife. We went to a restaurant the other day for her birthday, obviously. And I know what I want when I go in, so it doesn't take me very long to figure it out, but she never does. And so even if she didn't have her phone, it would still take her 10 to 15 minutes to figure it out. So I don't know. So if you hear that go off, well, there you go. Not the text you were waiting for, Busters. Well done. Well played, sir. Well played indeed. I applaud your creativity. So it was... it's the most wonderful time of year, isn't it? Holiday traditions kick in, and Everybody's doing their thing. I have my traditions. It's kind of strange for me because I was talking with Bill this morning on his show. I just sit there and text into his show. That's all I do. Although they want me to be on it next week. He says, well, if you can get up early at 7. Dude, I get up every morning at 6:30, 6:45 because I've got a son that goes to school. He doesn't get out of school. They're going to school all the way through the 22nd of December. Is that right? Whatever the last Friday is before Christmas, I think it's the 22nd. They're going to school all the way through that, which seems odd to me, but then they get 2 weeks off. So yeah, it's the 21st. So anyway, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I won't. We'll see what happens. So we were kind of kidding around and I didn't put this part in there where we were talking about some of the Christmas traditions, the Christmas kettles, the Salvation Army Christmas kettles. This is a big tradition in my life. I grew up, as most of you know, in the Salvation Army. My parents are Salvation Army officers, retired. My sister is a retired Salvation Army officer. My uncle and of blessed memory and his wife, my aunt are retired Salvation Army officers. My business partner is a former Salvation Army officer. I am a former Salvation Army officer. My grandparents were Salvation Army people, which makes sense because they were from Oklahoma, which is a big prohibition state. So I grew up with all that stuff. And really, for me, Christmas is a lot about the Christmas. I miss doing, that's the one thing I miss about being associated with the Salvation Army is Christmas kettles. I was telling Rob this the other day. I enjoyed that. I always got depressed when it was over. And if you're a people person, and I am not a people person by any stretch of the imagination, but I always strive to be, I always try to be. I don't succeed because my natural inclination is to be. I know this sounds strange coming from someone who does what I do, but reality is I'm a very quiet person. I don't like to talk to people, not because I don't like people or anything like that. My natural inclination is to be very, very, very quiet. I can sit in a room full of people who are talking and I don't have to say a word. I can just sit right there. I went to a friend's birthday party a couple of weeks ago and that became a topic of conversation was the fact that why isn't Dave talking to anybody? Which is kind of weird. So for me to try to make myself be a people person, Christmas kettles, really the Salvation Army Christmas kettles, being in charge of that really, really helped with that because I would have to go out and hire all the people that would do the kettles. I would have to train them how to do it. And there is a secret to it. And then I would go out and do it myself. I'd go out and relieve them for breaks and stuff like that. And I loved it. It was fun. And I miss doing that. And anyway, we were kind of talking about that this morning as a Christmas tradition. I guess he's going to go out on Monday and do his show from there, which would have been cool. But it's something that I always enjoyed. And, you know, I grew up doing it as a kid. My dad taught me and, you know, it's something that I do. I don't miss a whole lot about being associated or affiliated with the Salvation Army, but that's probably the one thing that I do miss. I really did enjoy that. It was always fun. It was interesting. And you would think it would kind of grind on you after a while. You'd think, oh, man, you know, after 2, 3, 4 weeks of this, it gets old. But it never really did for me. I always got depressed when it was over. That was kind of my thing for it. But I do have my Christmas traditions. Rob's trying to talk me into standing a Christmas kettle this year. I just haven't. I don't know. I'd probably do it just for fun. Old time's sake. That would be fun, I guess. Nope, that's not the text I'm waiting for either. I'm going to start getting texts now. Left and I could go the whole day and not get a single text, and now I'm going to get texts out the yin-yang because I'm waiting for one that isn't that one. But I do have my Christmas traditions, my holiday traditions, I guess is a better way to put it. For those of you who don't know, I am Jewish, but I was raised Christian. I converted fully in 2008. So, you know, one of the things I had to come to grip with is that, look, I have a past association with Christmas, and I have to acknowledge that. It's still part of my life. It's still part of the traditions. My family, my wife is Christian. My daughters are Christian. We have a Christmas tree that I bought and set up down there. They were supposed to decorate it on Saturday, but they didn't do it. So it looks pathetic because it's one of those fake trees, and all the branches are like, you know, this. They haven't been separated and flocked out, I guess. So it just kind of stands. It looks like Charlie Brown's tree. It really does. It's so sad. It's so sad. But I do love my holiday traditions. Whether it's viewing, you know, there are always films or TV shows that you have to watch. I love I love the movie Christmas Vacation. I don't know how other people feel about it. It doesn't really matter to me, but for my money, Christmas Vacation is even better than the original. It's way better than Vegas Vacation, but it's better than the original Vacation. The original Vacation was a funny movie, don't get me wrong, but it had that frat house feel to it. And if you've ever watched the Entertainment Network, where they do the behind the scenes and they tell you the story of the making of the movie, it really comes across that way. That and Caddyshack, they come across as just a giant roving party. Christmas Vacation, it seems like they actually put some thought into it and plot devices, and it's just a funny movie to me. But it has a moment in it that, for me, is the defining moment of holiday humor. And it goes back in my own life to my own extended family and things like that. Nothing like this ever happened, but there comes a moment in this film where I don't care what kind of mood I'm in. I could be furious. I could be sad. I can be blasé, whatever. But this is the moment that just lights up my holiday season when I see this. And that is when Cousin Eddie is emptying the... I'm laughing just looking at the picture. He's emptying the RV into the sewer system. And, of course, the neighbors come out. They smell it. Clark is watching it from the living room. And you know the line, right? Shitter's full. Merry Christmas. Shitter was full. I don't know why that amuses me. It just does. It's just that for some reason when I see that. And of course, now it's become the thing to do that as your Christmas decorations, right? People put that out on their lawn with Cousin Eddie and the hose and holding up the coffee cup and the cigarette. Merry Christmas. Shader was full. I don't know why that strikes me as funny, but it does. It's just every time I come across that, it could be June when I see that, and I still think that's the funniest thing there is. I don't know why. There's just something about that line that just gets me. Maybe it's the submarine stuff. Maybe it's, you know, back to whatever or whenever, and who knows? Could be. The other one, of course, is my all-time, I guess Star Trek is my favorite all-time TV show, but my number two is Married with Children. And they did a bunch of Christmas shows. The best one was called It's a Bundiful Life. It's one of the few two-parters they really did in that show with Sam Kinison. And you know, it's a play on It's a Wonderful Life. Al is depressed over Christmas, of course, because he's screwed up things again. And Sam Kinison is his guardian angel, who's going to come and show him what life would be like had he never been born, which of course means that Peg, Bud, and Kelly are very happy and wealthy, and they have everything they could possibly want. And for some reason, Jefferson Darcy ends up playing the husband, Jablonski. And, you know, the play on the whole thing is that they're happier without him. He's like, and so, of course, Kennison's not going to get his wings because Al doesn't want to live. And the plot, the twist in the whole thing, of course, is that he doesn't want them to be happy. So I want to live. And Kennison gets his wings and blah, blah, blah. It's an acquired taste. I will tell you that Married with Children is an acquired taste, but it's one that I just love. And this was the moment. Now, this wasn't the moment. The Bundy Santa, anytime Al's dressed up as Santa is funny, but the moment that just did it for me, and I remember this moment the first time we saw it when we were watching it live, before kids, Grandpa Dave talking again here, before there were DVRs and VCRs and all that crap, when you had to watch network TV, and Fox was a network, barely, but it was one, you had to watch it live, and if you missed it, well, you either waited for the rerun, which, because this was a Christmas episode, was going to be a while, or you missed it. And I remember sitting on our couch in our apartment. My roommate Jimmy and I had a pretty nice apartment. He had a really nice TV, and we were sitting there. This was a show that we never missed. It was a new show. I mean, this was a first season episode. This was like 1987. 88, somewhere in there, maybe 89. And Fox had just been started, and this was really their only show. And it just, it was awesome, man. It was freaking awesome. And so the plot line of this whole thing, and what you're seeing here, is doesn't really give that away. You see Al dressed as Santa, but the reason he's dressed as Santa is because Santa Claus was parachuting into the mall that's competing and killing Al's mall. And so when he parachuted, he forgot his parachute. Of course, he landed in their backyard, and so Al has to save Christmas because the neighborhood kids all want to see Santa Claus, who landed in his backyard in this flat. And I remember that moment where they're watching the TV, and the Santa Claus is parachuting, and oh no, he seems to be off course. His parachute isn't opening. We don't know where he's gone. And they're all leaning into the TV, and then you hear the thump, and you hear the branches cracking and stuff. You see the thing land in the boom, in the backyard. And I remember that as a seminal moment of television. I really do. I couldn't even breathe. I was laughing so hard. That was one of my favorite moments. And I still, to this day, every time I see that, and of course, nowadays I have it on DVD and I have streaming and I have all this other stuff. So nowadays, I don't actually have to watch it anymore when it's on TV. I don't have to wait for them to show it to me. I just load it up. And so what I usually do is, let's see, Christmas is on what day this year? I forget. Sorry. It's on a Tuesday. So probably on that Sunday night before Christmas Eve, I'll load up all these things. I'll load up all those Married with Children episodes. I'll load up Charlie Brown Christmas, which of course, I don't know. Is it ever really Christmas until you've had a chance to watch Charlie Brown and his tree? And, you know, from a theological standpoint, of course, I'm not Christian, but really, is there any show that does a better job of really telling the Christmas story? That's a wonderful scene when Linus says that. I can tell you what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Lights, please. And from that viewpoint, the story behind that he had to fight for that is just marvelous. That Charles Schulz had to put that in there. The network executives were convinced that would not work. And yet he fought for that to keep that in there. And so they did. And off you go. The other one that I like to watch is The Muppet Christmas Carol. I grew up on Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol. When I was in elementary school, we did a play. When I was in elementary school and I played the old Ebenezer Scrooge, not the young one. The guy that gets dragged around by the ghosts, the guy played by Michael Caine. And I've watched through my lifetime, I've watched people remake this and retell this story and fiddle around with it and all that. You know, for my money, obviously they made a few changes there. Jacob Marley is, you know, the Marley brothers and this and that sort of thing. But really speaking, from a following the story standpoint, The Muppet Christmas Carol is probably the closest of all the films and all the TV shows to the original of the story. It's a marvelous thing. It really is. The music is fantastic. There is one scene in the movie, and I've noticed that they cut this scene out when they show it on network television. So if you catch it like on, you know, pay TV or cable TV or something, you don't get to see the scene where Ebenezer breaks up with Belle, where Belle breaks up with him, I guess. And the song that she sings in that movie, I mean, there is, if you can watch that scene and not get, you know, your room dusty or whatever, you're dead on the inside, I guess. That's the only thing I got to say. That song is just, that's just heart ripping. I mean, it really is. And they cut it out when they show it on commercial TV, they cut it out. I don't understand that because it's a brilliantly done scene. It's a beautiful song. And I don't know why they cut it out. They just do. I mean, I know why they cut it out, because it makes people depressed and it's more commercial time, but really it's worth the effort. In today's world, it's worth the effort to just get the DVD or the stream so that you get that whole scene. And of course, you know, if you're watching it in a room full of people, you might want to, you know, pick that moment then to go make some more coffee or popcorn or something. Cause believe me, if you stay in there, you are going to be bawling your eyes out. It's a very moving scene. I love that. I love the music. We even have the country music, country Christmas music system on the XM in the Subaru. So I like to listen to that. I love all the music. I love sports. Sports in December is football in December. I mean, I'm a baseball guy, obviously, but football in December is just awesomely special, isn't it? I mean, you have the possibility in some places. Remember the game last year, Buffalo and Indianapolis, where it was like 2 feet of snow and the players were having so much fun, and the final score of the game was like 6-0 or something. But the players, every time they'd fall down, they'd make snow angels, and they were just having so much fun. And the fans were having fun throwing snow and stuff. It was wonderful. And then, you know, you got other places. Denver could do that. Seattle, I guess, could do that if it ever stopped raining. But I just, football in weather is the way the game is meant to be played. These dome stadiums just irritate the crap out of me. They really do. The idea of playing football in a dome stadium is outrageous. You need the weather. The Sunday night's game was a great example of this. So fantasy football, of course, I play. I have two teams. One of my teams makes the playoffs, and I've got Jared Goff, the Los Angeles Rams quarterback, as my quarterback. And, you know, it's a playoff game and all of that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking to myself, well, but they're playing in Chicago on a Sunday night in December. The temperature was going to be somewhere around 18 with a wind chill. So I benched Jared Goff and I replaced him with Jared Allen, the kid from Buffalo. And everybody's like, well, you're sitting Jared Goff? He's the best quarterback in the league. Yeah. Watch when these receivers try to catch that ball in 18-degree weather. That's the way football is meant to be played. It really is. It's meant to be played outdoors. It's meant to be played in weather. Now it's like, oh my God, it's bad weather. We should cancel the game. No. The best games ever played were played in conditions that were horrible. The Ice Bowl, the Broncos had a game against Green Bay back in the 80s that was, I mean, you can barely even see the game, but it was wonderful. I love that. Basketball is just getting going. Of course, college basketball is doing, the Pacific Tigers are doing great. They had a fantastic thing the other night with a dunk. I've quit watching hockey. I do like the New Year's Day outdoor game. I do watch that, but as a general rule, I quit watching hockey because I can't play, so it depresses me. Isn't that weird? I don't watch a sport because it depresses me, because I can't play it. I can't play football or baseball either, but I guess I spent more time aggregate playing hockey. So that's kind of where I like to be, and I miss being able to do that. I really do. It's something else. It's a lot of fun. Those are, and everybody has those traditions, and everybody has their things that they like about this particular time of year. And those are some of the things that I like, the memories that have been built from the television experiences that we had, and, you know, going sliding. We didn't use sleds when I was a kid. I mean, we had them, but we didn't like to use them. We either used inner tubes or our shoes. We would get our Sunday shoes and go outside on the hills, slide down on those, because your Sunday shoes didn't have tread. They didn't have traction like your sneakers do. So you put on your Sunday shoes and then you go sliding down the hills or whatever. And then you go home and your shoes, of course, are basically ruined because they're Sunday shoes. They're not designed to be in the wet and all that. And then your parents get mad because now they got to buy new Sunday shoes. And we love that stuff. Growing up in places where it snowed, it was one. We had a white Christmas here last year. I don't know that we're going to this year. That was rather unusual to have here, but we did have one. It snowed pretty heavily Christmas Eve, and Christmas morning was still snowed. Now what we're getting is a ton of rain, which is more normal here. At least it's not freezing. At least it's not freezing yet. So there you have it. I did get the text. I am going to have to leave here in just a couple of minutes, but there is stuff happening in the news, and I realize that you're going to have every talking head in the world talking about this stuff today. Michael Cohen went to jail. And of course, depending on how you feel about that, says more about you and your politics than it does about the actual facts of the case. Nobody cares about the facts of the whole thing. They only care about the politics of it. And there is politics in it, but really tune into the talking heads. You'll get everything you want about that. The bigger story in the news yesterday, and we didn't have time to get to it, was the G versus Planned Parenthood case and the fact that the Supreme Court decided not to hear that. They did not grant a cert to hear that case. And this has people confused all over the place. People are, what? Why didn't they wait to hear this? And of course, then the other reaction is, why didn't Kavanaugh vote to hear this? Because remember, we were told for weeks that Kavanaugh was going to end abortion. Remember? I mean, he was practically already overturned Roe v. Wade. And so everybody was screaming and yelling about why he can't be on the Supreme Court because he'll overturn abortion. And then the very first opportunity, it seems, to do so, he votes down for cert. And so you have to have four Supreme Court justices agree to hear a case. You have to have four. If you don't get four, you can't hear the case. So there's nine, so five, you know, they could vote no or whatever. And so it's obvious since Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito all voted to hear the case and actually wrote pretty scintillating dissents for not hearing the case. And there's actually some logic for why Thomas wrote the dissent. And he's actually not wrong in his dissent. But the problem from Kavanaugh's viewpoint, I guess, and from Roberts' viewpoint is, you know, we just went through hell with this guy, and we're still not sure what's going to exactly happen. Democrats have made threats in Congress about what they're going to do, and so maybe now isn't the time to be taking up a case about that could be perceived about abortion. I'm not convinced that the case is about abortion. Having read it, having read the Fifth Circuit Court ruling and having read the cert requests, it doesn't, I mean, I guess in a very broad sense, it could be a swipe at abortion, but probably not. But the perception is that it is, and so maybe they just felt like now wasn't the time. Now isn't the time to take that up. And so they did vote no, and that pissed off Thomas, who wrote a rather scintillating dissent, which isn't wrong, because the issues he brings up about the case are factual. They are true that we do have a divided court. It is our job, lower courts, it is our job to review lower court decisions that are divided. Why should somebody in Kansas not have the same rights that somebody in California has? And that's what we have right now, is a divided court, so we should have heard the case. So they probably won't, and we'll have to see what's going on with that. All right. Apologize for having to get out of here a little bit early. Life sometimes gets in the way, folks. But that's the way it goes. So I've got to get running. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there. So don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I'm Dave Bowman, and this is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Join me every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific. Usually we're here, like I said, for an hour, but today a little bit short because of stuff going on. All right, see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.